Hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way will be back on Monday. A lot of high school football talk in hour number one. Our weekly chat with Bowie head coach Jeff Abels. Got that out of the way. Always good to visit with Coach Abels. Always like him being kind enough to visit with us on a game day. I know, like I said, coaches are regimented, but we do appreciate the time Coach Abels takes to visit with us. And we got Snoop's edition of the Whataburger Top 5 matchups. Also ran down the Thursday night slate in high school football across the area. And don't forget, you've got three games tonight. Really two games, because Lake Travis and Bowie are playing each other. It all starts on 104.9, on 101.9 and AM 1260, and on 105.3 The Bat at 6:30 with Snoop and the crew and the Flex, taking you up to the 7:15 pregame for Bowie and Lake Travis. The Lake Travis broadcast with Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, and Stu Myrick is here on 104.9. On 105.3 The Bat at 7:15, that pregame show will start you with the Bowie broadcast with Dee Hansen and Steve Foster. And what are we doing on pregame for Vandegrift, Snoop? Is that a 7:15 also?
The game kicks at 7, so
Vandegrift is kicking off at 7. So yes. 6:45 pregame for the Vandegrift game. Okay.
Merle is one of our best.
Okay. I know Vandegrift likes the Vandegrift's games are going to kick off at 7. It's just the, not to get too inside baseball, but the run sheet with you saying citing the confusing pregame time, it got me all discombobulated. So I want to make sure. 101.9 AM 1260 Vandegrift Westwood. Snoop and the crew at 6:30, and then the 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kick for the Vipers and the Warriors. But it is Friday, and that means we have to do our picks in the Supreme Lending Pick'em Contest for charity with Chris Waters Realty. I am not...
Now hold on, this is for charity?
It is for charity. Yeah, that's what we're playing for.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the cash for us.
No.
Okay. Well, it's better for charity.
It's for the children,
okay.
Snoop.
Just checking. I mean,
what are we gonna do? Like, split it? How many? That's between me and you, Bucky and Aaron, Chad, Trey, Kevin, Rod.
Oh no! Whoever gets the best out of us,
split something eight ways.
Oh, nope. It'd just go to us.
I'll be honest. I didn't get emailed a standing sheet this week, so I don't even know where we are at this point. Do you have that in front of you?
We got one the week prior. I'm sure we get one. I think it's an even numbered week. We get them so.
All I know is, look, the one we just did inconceivable. What's inconceivable is it's us, it's Chris Waters Realty, it's John McClellan and his team at Supreme Lending, and it's Coke FM. Bob Cole is kicking the dog mess out of all of us in the Pick'em Contest this year. That is inconceivable.
Bob Cole, head on down to Sarita Ranch. Hey, that's the good stuff, I'll tell you.
Once again, there's another promo we've got coming up for you here at some point.
Well, Bob's awesome.
All right, Snoop, let's go ahead and get these picks out of the way. What do I have on the college
three
front?
Of them, okay? On the road, number 8, Oklahoma State, taking on Iowa State.
You know, Matt Campbell's team starts slow. And you look at the two games Iowa State's lost. They lost to Iowa, who's a pretty good team, except for that whole deal last week. There was that Purdue incident. And they lost to Baylor. Come to find out, Baylor's not a bad football team. I think this Oklahoma State team is good. I don't think they're great. And maybe this is the last time I do it.
You're going to pick against?
One more time. I'm going to call on Pump Fake Purdy to get me a win in a pick'em contest. I'm going with the Cyclones at home.
All right.
Brock Purdy, this is your last chance with me.
Yeah. Man.
Or Iowa State's going to go into that Auburn and Wisconsin file where I cannot trust you. And I shouldn't trust Brock Purdy, but he was so good last week in their win over K-State that I'm going to go with Iowa State all over right. Oklahoma State.
And I am going to do a five-teamer with our picks. So hope we go 5-0. All right.
Now don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that bad mojo on me.
That's okay. No, I got it. I wouldn't do it. If I couldn't lose it, I wouldn't use it.
All right, Snoop, game number two.
Game number two is Kansas State versus Texas Tech. I like this game.
You know what? This is basically a pick'em in terms of where the betting line is. That was at least the last time I saw it, and I heard Bucky and Aaron talking about it this morning. It was a pick'em, so I don't imagine it's changed. Texas Tech under Matt Wells, it feels like every time they get ready to take a step forward, that fan base just gets massively disappointed. I think this is another one, man. This is a good K-State team. I know they've been up and down a little bit, but they lost to Iowa State last week. I think that's a better Iowa State team than a lot of people think. We've kind of forgotten about Iowa State. They were a team that I liked in the preseason as a legitimate college football playoff contender. I'm going to take Deuce Vaughn and the Wildcats to go on the road to Lubbock and get him a win.
Make sure I'm writing this down.
I just can't get like how Bijan Robinson just toyed with that Texas Tech defense. I can't get that out of my head. And I'm thinking Deuce Vaughn's going to do a lot of the same this week to the Red Raiders. So
right.
give me K-State over Tech. I'll take the road team in that one.
The Manhattan champions. That's stupid. All right. Last, I'm sorry. Last one.
I don't know where you were going with that.
I don't either.
It's like you had a good thought, and then it didn't. Wire between your brain and your mouth, it didn't connect at all.
All right, Clemson at 23 Pitt.
I had that problem too, Snoop. Don't worry, it happens. This is interesting, man. Clemson, Pitt, I know can score a point. Everybody's down on Clemson, but you know what? Again, I probably shouldn't do this because Clemson's giving me no reason to take them in anything, but this isn't a spread. It's just a pick 'em. I'm going to take Clemson to go on the road and beat Pitt.
All right. So, your three picks.
I'll tell you what, if Clemson loses this game, this kind of could be like what Mack Brown had in that 2010 season where Texas went 5-7 coming off of playing for a national title. This could be like the okay, there's officially something wrong with Clemson game, and maybe that's already happened. I'm just, you know, too dumb to realize it, but give me Clemson to go on the road and beat Pitt. So I like Iowa State over Oklahoma State, K-State over Texas Tech, and Clemson over Pitt. Even though Kenny Pickett in that Pitt offense, I know they can score points, but this is a really good Clemson defense.
All right. Okay, I'll send that to Angie, who's now running it. Thank you, Amanda, for handling it all these years.
All right, Snoop, we're for your first of two in the National Football League, going to the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. The 4-2 Bengals at the 5-1 Ravens.
You know, every time I've went with Cincinnati, I've won. And every time I've gone against the Ravens, I've lost. So something's got to get
here. Well, you're in quite the pickle here, aren't you,
Well, you
Snoop?
Know, this is why I'm such a great gambler. dang, Bengals at Ravens. After I saw what Lamar did against Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, down by 18, late third quarter to help them come back and win, and then how they throttled Cleveland last week, even though they weren't. Cleveland was down a little bit, bounced back last night. I got the Ravens at home.
Taking the Ravens at home over the Bengals.
Even though I love Cincinnati, man, I really do. But that's what I meant to say. It was San Diego. It was the Chargers that got beat down by the Ravens. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah,
and I believed in Hebert. Herbert. What's his name?
Justin Herbert.
Oh, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
All right, second game.
I love you, Snoop.
Ravens and who?
No, you just picked the Ravens game.
Right. Oh.
You got the Kansas City Chiefs 3-3. Your nemesis, Patrick Mahomes, Snoop.
Yeah.
At the 4-2 Tennessee Titans.
Well, I really like what Tennessee did against Buffalo last week, and Kansas City has been down. So, is there a coin in here? I was going to flip it. real degenerate style.
I've got
flip it for me.
I wish you'd have told
Damn
me
it.
I had some
oh,
quarters.
No,
I had some quarters in my console.
Found it.
Okay, flip your coins. Okay, we got to let the listeners know what's heads, what's tails.
Okay, so heads is the Titans because it's a home team. And the Chiefs are the away team.
Right.
Tails.
Tails never fails. You heard the coin quarter hit the desk?
Ooh.
What did it land on?
Tennessee.
All right.
Then only 10 I see. Tennessee. Tennessee Titans.
So you're taking the Ravens at home over the Bengals, and on a coin flip, a legitimate coin flip, you're taking the Titans at home.
Hey.
To beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
The coin is smarter than the mind, let me tell you.
Not a nap guy texted in, Snoop, just to remind you. That's not a great system for picking games, just flipping the coin.
No way. I think you just blame it on the coin. You have to be mad at yourself.
All right, there it is. Snoop Daniel with picking games as only he can.
Woo! Yep, sometimes you just leave it up to fate. Don't try to determine it yourself.
Is that what I call the sometimes in football when you have a game plan that just kind of defies logic? It's just the go with God game plan?
Yes. Always go with God.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right, so there it is. There are our picks in the Supreme Lending Pick'em Contest. We'll have a full-on Longhorn notebook coming up in our next segment, but I do want to get a little Longhorn talk in right here. And normally on Friday on a game day, we'll, or the day before a game, going into game day, you know what I meant. See, Snoop, there's that brain-mouth wire that doesn't connect all the week.
Because there's no Cowboys and Longhorns. It's really kind of depressing.
And man, it's weird that those two teams are off, and it's just it's horrible. Football weekends are not horrible. Football weekends are good. It's not the sexiest slate of games for college and NFL this weekend. But normally what we would do, what I would do in the two notebooks, is I would go three keys to victory for the Longhorns and three matchups to watch. But right now, I'm going to give you three keys to a good second half of the Longhorns and then three players coming up in the Longhorn notebook, three players that I think are going to be pivotal if Texas is going to make the most of the season. Now, is Texas capable of winning the rest of its games? Capable? Yes, certainly. Texas could go 9-3. I could see that. Do I think it's going to happen? No, because until they solve this problem of winning one possession games and A, not getting themselves in a one possession game that doesn't need to be won, and B, winning one possession games, winning tight games, hanging on to leads late in games, finishing teams off, until they rectify that problem, I can't trust this Texas team to go win their last five or to win 4 or 5 and finish 8-4. And as you start to think about records, Snoop, and what this fan base would think of as a good year, now you're getting down to that territory. Clearly, if Texas were to go 9-3 in the regular season, which means they would have won out, I think everybody would say, okay, that's a really good regular season year one for Steve Sarkisian. Go win you 9 games, go into a bowl game with a chance to win 10. And who knows, if you went out, maybe there's a chance you get yourself into the Big 12 title game, depending on how other things fall. 8-4 is that gray area. I always talk about it, man. If you're 8-4 in the regular season, you can spin that either way. There's going to be arguments to say, no, look at the schedule, look at the circumstances, it was a good season. Or you can look at 8-4 and say, no, it was disappointing, you should have won more games. There's no question, though, once you get to 7-5 territory, now you're in, okay, that was a disappointing season. It did not live up to expectations. So three keys for the Longhorns to maximizing their games the rest of the way, maximizing the final 5 games of the regular season. Key number one, ride 5. Specifically, Steve Sarkisian's got to figure out a way in the second half of games to maximize Bijan Robinson. That's going to play into my key number two, but take this ride with me on Bijan. CB asked on the text line earlier this week about Caleb Williams maybe winning the Heisman, and I said I can see that if Caleb Williams, the Oklahoma quarterback, if he starts on an upward trajectory, if this is the start of it, he can certainly be there, because there's not a surefire leader for the Heisman at this point. But Bijan Robinson can get to New York. That's how wide open this Heisman race is. There's no clear front runner. But if he's going to get there, the one thing that I think could keep him out, Texas doesn't have any quote-unquote marquee games left. In other words, they're going to need Baylor on a bye week to really bump up in the AP poll, which means things in front of them will have to fall. They're going to need Iowa State to get on a roll. And even then, Texas-Iowa State, Texas-Baylor, is that really going to move the needle for any of the Heisman voters? Maybe it will if Bijan Robinson goes out and has insane production in those games. But I think the two, you know, the marquee games on the schedule have already passed. Arkansas was a marquee game because a lot of eyeballs were on it. Oklahoma's a marquee game every year. And then Oklahoma State last weekend at home against the top 12 team, that was a chance to have a marquee game and a marquee win and a marquee performance for Bijan Robinson. In the second half of the last two games, the loss to Oklahoma and the loss to Oklahoma State, if you look at Bijan Robinson's rushing production, it's not bad. 17 carries for 102 yards. But the consistency is not there. Take out the 33-yard run he had in the second half of the Oklahoma game. Take out the 38-yard touchdown run he had in the second half of the Oklahoma State game. On the other 15 carries he's had, 31 net yards. You need more production out of Bijan Robinson, and that's not his fault. It's what We saw Alex Grinch do this 2 weeks ago. We saw Jim Knowles do this last week, the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. You just get to a point where you decide, okay, we're just going to overwhelm Texas at the line of scrimmage because their offensive line will not be able to hold up. Okay, well, teams are going to continue to do that. And if you're Steve Sarkisian, how do you combat that while still maximizing and utilizing your biggest game-breaking weapon on offense? Just because teams are going to blitzkrieg at the line of scrimmage and try to cause all kinds of havoc for you and overwhelm you either with personnel or numbers. In the case of Oklahoma, it was both. What are you going to do to make sure number five is still a factor in the game? He just cannot disappear. That's a surefire way to get you out of some of those ruts where you can go 4-3 and outs in a row or 4-3 and outs in a stretch of five possessions. Maximize Bijan Robinson is one of the ways Texas can maximize the second half. You've got to get more consistent production from him, but you've got to help him out. He cannot do it all by himself, which takes me to key number two for Texas maximizing the final five games of the regular season. For Steve Sarkisian, don't stop using your cheat codes. We've seen in the second half, and I love that, you know, Rod Babers coined this term a couple of years ago, you know, pre-snap motions, shifts, utilizing different formations, bunch formations. There are all kinds of different cheat codes that can give you an edge offensively. And if you look at Steve Sarkisian's opening scripts, he uses a ton of those. A ton of pre-snap motion and shifts, a ton of formation variations, various formations within different personnel groupings. You've got to be able to use your cheat codes throughout the game. You cannot stop using them. Texas is not at the point right now as a program where offensively they can just go out and overwhelm people. You've got a couple of pieces that are capable of doing that. Bijan Robinson is capable of doing that. Xavier Worthy is capable of doing that. But this isn't the 2005 offense where you can just kind of roll out and you're automatically just going to score 40, 50 points and roll up 500-600 yards of total offense. It is not going to happen. And especially, I think the other key thing to remember with this offense is, I talked about this in the offseason, Snoop, that slow burn. I think people forget, like, and this is why some people, I think, took Sam Ehlinger for granted by the end of his career. That slow burn that it takes for a quarterback to get to a position where you can trust them, where you feel comfortable with them behind center. That was a process for Sam Ehlinger. It probably wasn't. If you look at Sam Ehlinger's career trajectory, it was probably, maybe not until the Oklahoma game, his sophomore season, that game he had in the Cotton Bowl where Texas beat Oklahoma 48-45. It was probably at that point where I think people started feeling, okay, Sam Ehlinger's the guy, you feel comfortable with him, roll with him, you're good. But that it was a process, and it was going to be a process regardless of which one of these two guys, whether it was Casey Thompson or Hudson Card, that ended up winning the job. It was going to be a slow process. I say all that to say this. The two guys that can help you get out of those ruts are Xavier Worthy and Bijan Robinson, a true sophomore and a true freshman. And somebody on the Specs text line mentions a great point, and I'll back this up on it. Is it time to shift from 12 personnel to 5 wide? No, not necessarily. Texas runs the ball really well when they're in 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. The problem is, and this goes back, this is why key number two, don't stop using your cheat codes, is so pivotal. You can get in 12 personnel, but Texas has gotten to the point in the last 2 weeks where being in 12 personnel, they're so predictable that it makes them easy to defend. You've got to do different things with those tight ends. And I'll give you a really good example. Texas did this in the first half of the Oklahoma State game. Or the Oklahoma game, excuse me. I got a little allergy issues. No, but I was feeling fine until you brought up allergies earlier in the show.
Sorry, Jeff. And, I mean, God forbid you talk by yourself.
But. No, it's good. Texas did this in the first half of the Oklahoma game, but not so much in the Oklahoma State game. They ran a lot of split zone in the first half of the Oklahoma game, which basically, that's a zone play going one way. Your H-back is going to block back across the formation and take care of the backside defensive end. Now, what that's going to do, it can do two things. It can secure the cutback lane by exactly what the play is designed to do. It's going to take care of that backside defensive end, not allow him to chase it from the backside if that zone play, especially if it's a wide zone, more of a slow developing play, or if that guy crashes down, then your tight end becomes a lead blocker. He can hit the cutback lane, and now you're off and running. And split zone's not an outside-the-box concept, but what it does is it's giving the opposing linebackers, you're basically doing the same thing to the opponent's linebackers that the opposing offense is doing to your linebackers. You're just trying to get their eyes in the wrong place for that split second Bijan Robinson needs to hit a crease. So that's just one thing, and Sark has done that, but you cannot stop using your cheat codes. You've got to continue to use motion, to mix up your formations. You cannot stop doing that. Texas is not in a point where they can just play similar to the defense. Pete Kwiatkowski cannot play static defense, just base fronts and coverages, and expect to consistently stop people. This offense isn't at a point where you can play static offense, just base plays, no window dressing, and expect to just go move the ball on people, especially once the competition kicks up, as we've seen each of the last 2 weeks. And key number three, this goes to the defense. Emphasize third down defense. Now, I know I don't think Pete Kwiatkowski is legitimately like ignoring third down defense. No defensive coordinator does that. But man, if you look at the situations, and again, you can question the Ray Thornton roughing the passer call. I don't like the call, but according to the rule now, that's just the way football is. Is it a penalty? Yes. Do I like the call? No. That was one of a handful of penalties by the Texas defense where they had Oklahoma State either in a second and long or a third and long, had a chance to get off the field and couldn't do it because of penalties. The mental focus, the mental intensity, all that stuff Sark talks about defensively, that has got to be heightened on third down. When this defense has a chance to get off the field, they cannot stay on the field due to self-inflicted mistakes, Snoop. They can't have penalties. That's when you can't have a blown coverage. You can't have a missed assignment. This defense has got to focus on being their best on third down. Because as Sark talked about on Monday, defensively, it's finding things this defense does well. One thing this Texas defense actually does well, they're third in the Big 12 right now in red zone defense. Only 80% of the time, about 81% of the time, opponents are scoring on Texas. The problem is, no defense in the Big 12 has faced more red zone possessions than the Texas defense has. They've only given up 13 touchdowns in a red zone on 31 possessions. That's a really good touchdown percentage. That's really good. The problem is you face 31 red zone possessions in your first 7 games. You've got to cut down on that number, and one way you can cut down on that number is getting off of the field when you've got a chance to get off the field. So, to me, those are three keys. You got to maximize Bijan Robinson, maximize every touch he can possibly get. If you're Sark, don't stop using your cheat codes on offense. And if you're Pete Kwiatkowski, you've got to emphasize the importance of getting off of the field on third down when the situation is ripe for it. When you're in third and long, you cannot have penalties and just self-inflicted mistakes that allow drives to continue. Take a break, come back, talk a little more Texas football. Three Longhorns that are going to be pivotal to this team maximizing their final 5 games of the regular season. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Kevin Dunn.
They didn't adjust well, period. And they have not adjusted.
Moving along, hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig White out. Craig will be back on Monday as we start a new broadcast week, a game week for the Longhorns against Baylor. It's another 11 a.m. game. Kegs and eggs, get you some breakfast tacos and some Longhorn football. Longhorn fans, I don't know when you're going to get another 2:30 or, heaven forbid, a night game on the schedule the rest of the way, but this is what the TV partners want, so it's kind of what you're stuck with at this point. Specs text line 337-3776 is wide open. Gambling fanatic Texan said, listen to the Michael Griffin interview with Chip Brown and Taylor Estes. That's on the flagship podcast on the Horns 24/7 podcast feed. If you're a subscriber, that's how you get every episode of Longhorn Blitz. You can also get the State of Recruiting with Mike Roach and Nick Harris, and you get the flagship with Chip and Taylor. And what he says is that Texas is the equivalent of Tennessee, a revolving door of coaches. All we have is our 2005 memories of what Texas football was. I mean, yeah, you can make that argument, like Texas, Tennessee, Michigan, you know, teams that have won national championships in the last 20, 25-ish years, that the past is better than what's happened recently. That doesn't mean Texas can't turn around. Doesn't mean Tennessee can't turn around. Look, Tennessee, Texas, and Michigan, like Nebraska to me is separate from that argument. Like, you know, we'll see if Scott Frost can get it turned around. There are a lot of It almost feels like watching Nebraska from afar. That had to be what it was like for people watching Charlie Strong's Texas from afar. Like, there's times where they seem so close, yet within the same game they can feel so far away. That's what it feels like with Nebraska and Scott Frost. But, like, Michigan, like, you know, Jim Harbaugh's won some games. They've had some double-digit win seasons. They've had high finishes in the AP poll under Jim Harbaugh. Just hadn't been able to beat Ohio State. You know, Tennessee, especially at a time where the SEC East hasn't been good. It hasn't been just overwhelming. I mean, Florida's been up and down a little bit, more years up than down. It seems like Georgia's kind of taken over the mantle as being the big dog in that division. But, you know, Tennessee can get it back because you're in such a fertile recruiting ground in the state of Tennessee. And Texas can certainly get it back because, look, we always talk about recruiting rankings, and I've talked a lot about recruiting and talent. And does this Texas team have talent? Yes, it does. They're not bereft of talent, but it's not the kind of talented depth that a legitimate national championship contender has. And part of that is because all the reasons that recruiting classes don't pan out to some people's expectations. It's natural attrition, it's injuries, it's unforeseen circumstances, it's the, as Michael Griffin called it, that revolving door of coaches. It's really hard at some positions, like quarterback, like offensive line. Even the way the game is played today, I'll even say linebacker, and as you change defensive schemes as much as Texas has, it's really hard to evaluate, recruit, and develop, you know, edge rushers, inside linebackers, even safeties. Every defensive scheme is different. And, you know, edge rushers is one of those positions. You know what, Snoop? Let's just go ahead and make this the notebook right now.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
We're unsponsored, but go ahead and hit the sounder anyway. It just
Jeff
makes
Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
This makes me feel whole when we hit the sounder. But, you know, I was talking about Texas, the inability of this program, like, over a good chunk of time to really develop edge rushers. And I took Charles Omenihu out of that equation, and it's not a knock on Charles. It's just the Todd Orlando staff didn't use him that way. I mean, had they used him, I'll put it like this. If Charles Omenihu had played for Chris Ash and been in more of a legitimate, like, true kind of four-man front, where he could pin his ears back more often and, like, play a true defensive end position, Charles Omenihu might have been an All-American. As it was, playing that 4-eye technique for Todd Orlando, he was still Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year. He probably would have been an All-American, probably wouldn't have had to wait as long as he did on day three to hear his name called in the NFL draft. I think the production would have been there. Somebody would have taken a chance on him a lot earlier than the Houston Texans did taking him in the fifth round. So I take Charles Omenihu out of that equation. The Texas hasn't had a problem, even in the lean years, developing, recruiting, evaluating really good interior defensive linemen. Malcolm Brown was a first-round pick. Hassan Ridgeway, I think, went in the fourth round. Puna Ford has made the league and gotten a second contract as an undrafted free agent. But the edge rusher position specifically, that is one position that's kind of eluded Texas. I mean, you look at that. This program had an outstanding run of developing edge guys, and I think it really started, even though he wasn't recruited specifically as that, he developed into that. Like, you think you kind of go back. Like, Aaron Humphrey had a great season in 99. But you really, I think the run starts with Corey Redding, and then you've got that Brian Robinson-Tim Crowder combo, and then you go from those guys to Brian Arakpo and Sergio Kendall and Alex Okafor and Jackson Jeffcoat. And then pretty much in terms of true edge guys, you go from Jackson Jeffcoat at the end of the 2013 season really until Joseph Osai takes off in 2020. He didn't have just this dominating edge rush presence. I mean, go look at some of the sack leaders Texas had in some of those seasons. I mean, Malcolm Brown as an interior defensive lineman led the team in sacks one year. Peter Jenkins in 2015 was your sacks leader. I think Malik Jefferson had a year where he led the defense in sacks. So just that guy that you can turn loose off the edge. And again, Charles Omenihu could have been that guy, wasn't used that way. That edge rusher that can take over a game, that can close out a game for you in the second half, and be that guy. I thought the fire alarm was going off, but it's TV behind me is doing something weird, distracting me a little bit.
Yeah, that's like an EDM show behind me.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck is going on. But I say all that to say this. When you look at how much Texas has changed defensive schemes, it makes it hard. Like, you know, Charlie Strong tried to recruit that Fox end position, and they thought they had their guy with Eric Fowler, but they didn't. And, you know, Eric Fowler was out of the program pretty quick after Tom Herman took over. You know, Charlie Strong is out. Then Todd Orlando comes in. Again, he wants more 4-eye technique guys, kind of the Taquan Graham body type for an odd front. He wants to try to make the B-backer, never really found the guy he had in Tyus Bowser at Houston. Joseph Osai became that guy, but Joseph Osai had his best season playing for Chris Ash, who wanted more of a true four-man front. And now you go to Pete Kwiatkowski, who is able to flex and evolve and differentiate between different fronts. He's able to get you in and out of different fronts based on his defensive background. But you don't have a guy like Joseph Osai, and you haven't developed one yet. And you've got some young guys that maybe have some promise, but you don't have. That's why they had to go into the portal to get a bunch of guys to play on the edge, because they just don't have those kind of bodies in the pipeline right now, in the program right now. So, so basically, I know I kind of got off on an edge rusher tangent, but getting back to Gambling Fanatics text, Texas can get it back, but it's going to take consistency. That's why if you're a Texas fan, you need to hope Steve Sarkisian wins long enough to get to year four, to get to year five, or maybe you can get some recruiting classes through here, and maybe you can start to get on somewhat of an upward trajectory. So 4 or 5 years from now, we're not doing the same old thing, and I'm not talking about the same old stuff. Again, that's when this program is going to start to get somewhere, when we can stop having those conversations. One texter reminded me that apparently, Snoop, when I was addressing you in the last segment, I said Craig. I used Craig's name. Good catch. I didn't catch it, but if I did, Snoop, I apologize for that, if that's what
I
did.
Is that the worst thing I can be called?
No, I'm sure you've been called much worse.
Oh, God. Hey, come on.
Sure, you've been called much worse. Let's see. I'm trying to. What is happening with the technology in the studio right now? Anyway, all right. Let's get on with the notebook. I mentioned last segment, I had three keys to a good second half. We're beyond the second half of the season, but three keys to maximizing the final five games of the regular season for the Longhorns. And now I've got three players to watch. Player number one, I just talked about edge rusher. The lack of a war daddy up front, player number one, Alfred Collins, can he continue to be that guy? We've seen him flash. We've seen him show the ability to be that guy. Can he be that guy on somewhat of a consistent level and at least provide Texas a presence of a guy that we talked about, you know, emphasizing third down defense, the ability to get off the field on third down. Alfred Collins was really good in the Oklahoma State game, getting pressure on the quarterback. Can he start to get home on some of those pressures and turn some of those pressures and plays where he's flushing the quarterback out of the pocket? Can he turn some of those into sacks that can get you off the field? Alfred Collins is number one for me. Number two, I'll stick on the defensive side. DeSean Jameson. Texas right now is tied for second in the Big 12 with 11 takeaways. Somebody in that secondary has got to be able to, at least when the ball is in the air and coming their way, has got to be able to at least get a hand on the ball or start to make quarterbacks question whether they're going to throw it to that side of the field or not. Right now, if you're an opposing quarterback facing Texas, if I'm Gary Bohannon right now at Baylor watching film and getting ready for Texas next week, the entire field is open. There's nobody in that Texas secondary that should scare you right now. Nobody has put that on paper that they are worthy of that kind of worry from the opponent. If I think Anthony Cook has been the most consistent defensive back in that secondary this year. I think Josh Thompson has had a good year. But DeSean Jameson, I keep coming back to him because I think he's one of the few guys back there that has the ability to be a ball hawk. We've seen it at times. We've also seen times where he's been burned. You know DeSean Jameson, it's high risk, high reward. It's just Texas hasn't gotten enough of that reward part. I think if you start getting more of the reward from DeSean Jameson, then maybe you'll start to see this defense again. It's not going to be an elite defense. The numbers are going to be ugly by the end of the year, but maybe they can be a little more palatable. And maybe DeSean Jameson making a play on the ball can get you that one extra stop that you need in the second half to create an extra possession for the offense, or at least just get the defense off the field and prevent the opponent from getting in the red zone. Again, Texas has been good at keeping opponents out of the end zone in the red zone. They just faced 31 red zone possessions this year. It's more than anybody in the Big 12. Got to get that turnaround. So Alfred Collins, DeSean Jameson, player number three. I think it goes without saying. Sark talked about it on Monday. The staff is already trying to figure out different ways to get Kalen Robinson the football. I like the way that he can stretch a defense horizontally and vertically. Stretching it horizontally, you can create vertical seams in a run game. Stretching it vertically, it goes without saying what that can do. Kalen Robinson, no touches in the Oklahoma game, 2 touches in the Oklahoma State game. You've got to get more, especially with Jordan Whittington out. You've got to be able to maximize the touches that number seven gets. And it's not that he needs 10 touches. Again, you can get him in that 3 to 5 range, and a couple of those can be the kinds of touches that can change a game for you. So those are my three Longhorns that are key to a successful second half for the Longhorns, or a successful final five games of the regular season. Alfred Collins, Deshaun Jameson, Keelan Robinson. We will continue to take your text on the Specs text line, and we'll come back. We'll close out this edition of Light the Tower and the broadcast week when we come back on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Shirts and skins.
It's funny.
Jeff Howe and Snoop Daniel, Light the Tower.
Man, Snoop, I just saw an allergy forecast on local news here. We got one of the.
Yeah.
We got it on KVU, I think. In the studio? I don't know.
Yeah, KVU, this Jenny Lee, she's been around forever.
Man, I just saw the allergy forecast. Everything was in the red. Everything was high. Trees, grass, pollen, mold, all of it. It's all high.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Good. All you allergy sufferers out there, it's been a rough week. But high school football tonight, so Snoop, you don't go to Friday games because you got to hold it down here.
Which makes me sad, but that's okay.
I
love to be at games.
Earlier in the show, and by the way, great job this week while Craig has been out.
Thank you. You too.
Of all of the games, we had your edition of the Whataburger top five matchups, top five games to close out the week. Give me one game you're keeping track of tonight.
Maynard, Weiss.
You're number one?
Yeah, I believe both of those guys can do some damage come postseason, provided that they beat out the 12-5A team they had to play in the first round of the playoffs. But like I said, I think whoever loses is better for it, and whoever wins has just that much more confidence. So I don't think anybody can lose tonight. This is a good test for two playoff-bound teams.
One of those games where it sucks that somebody's got to be on the wrong end of the scoreboard. Uh-huh. I got you. A couple of texts we'll get to before we're out of here. One texter says, I live in Oklahoma. Listen to Mike Gundy's press conference. He knew exactly what Texas was going to do when they set up the defense that resulted in the interception, which validates what you were saying. What I was saying about Texas just isn't in a position where they can afford to be predictable on offense right now. Talking about three keys to maximizing the last five games of the regular season. Sark, don't stop using your cheat codes. Continue to use those all throughout the game. Even if you've got to maybe alter that opening script a little bit and save something for the second half, go ahead and do it. One texter said, I'm sure you mentioned this yesterday, which we did, but he missed it. What do I think of Josh Thompson working at safety? It's kind of deceiving to me, some of the Pro Football Focus numbers. I love PFF. It's better than what we had before. But it's not the be-all, end-all. If you look at the missed tackle numbers, like Josh Thompson and B.J. Foster have missed the same number of tackles this year. But, man, the safeties have been so bad at filling the alleys. And Josh Thompson has been one of the better tackling members of this Texas secondary. I'm all for it. I don't see why not. And, again, maybe we don't see that reflected on the depth chart or necessarily in the Baylor game. But I think this is one of those weeks where, hey, if you're going to try it, and Josh Thompson's a guy that's played multiple positions in the secondary, just try it. Go see what it looks like. Bevo Bear backing me up saying, I did not say Craig's name. It was when I said the word Blitzkrieg. I didn't say Blitz, Craig. I said Blitzkrieg. Just one word. So, confusion avoided.
How dare you?
Right there. How dare me what? Oh, so I get accused of saying something.
The texter,
I didn't say.
Yeah.
It's fine. It happens. All right. Well, hey, really good broadcast week, Snoop. Thank you so much for the job you did. And again, we've got two high school games on our airwaves, three different broadcasts. We got Vandegrift Westwood. That is a 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kick.
Yes.
On 101.9 and AM 1260. Lake Travis at Bowie on 104.9, 7:15 pregame, leading you up to 7:30 kick with Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, and Stu Myrick. On 105.3, the Bat, 7:15 pregame with D. Hansen and Steve Foster, leading you up to a 7:30 kickoff with the Bowie broadcast. And it all gets started right after RBKD with Snoop and the Flex coming up at 6:30.
RBKD.
Snoop, if you get through editing and whatnot at a decent hour or whenever you get through it, what's on your docket for the weekend? Trying to keep yourself out of trouble or what?
Nah, fam, I ain't going to be done. There ain't no getting done before the weekend. I mean, I'm basically like three loaves of bread and two fish.
Hey, I like Ike texting and wants to know somebody. He said, Snoop, let's get Lago Vista on the Flex.
They are. You know, shout out to Lago Vista Volleyball. They're number two. They're taking on Prosper tonight. I know that's probably not the Lago Vista you were looking to get shouted at.
No, I can't believe I've done three solo shows, and this is the first time I'll mention it. Good luck. Florence tonight hosting Lexington. That is a massive game in District 13-3A Division II. You've got Lexington, Buffalo, Florence, and Riesel all 1-2 in district play. Everybody obviously looking up at Franklin, the number one team in the state. Rogers is putting together a really good season. But this could be the – look, a win tonight, they get to five wins. That's at least a 500 season. It's a non-losing season. That would be really good for Coach Bridges and the kids over in Florence. So good luck to the Buffs tonight. Everybody out there, hope everybody has a safe, healthy, happy weekend. All you young men getting ready to strap it up, get on the gridiron tonight. Good luck. Be safe. Everybody, wherever you're traveling for high school football tonight, be safe. Don't forget 6:30 on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and 105.3 The Bat. It's Snoop and the Flex Crew. Snoop, great job this week, man. Big thank you to Bowie head coach Jeff Abels for joining us for his Friday visit. For Coach Abels, for the absent Craig Way, for Snoop Daniel, I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back on Monday to light the tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.